Amen. Praise the Lord for his goodness to us. We are privileged to have Brother Godfrey here with us. He's a missionary to Zaire and Congo, and now a representative with BIMI and vice president and lots of other letters after your name there. We're glad to have you here. Bring the word to us. At the end, we'll have a little update before we go. Brother Godfrey, thank you.
Thank you, and it's good to be back here. We've been here several times in the past, and if you don't remember me, you probably remember my raspy voice. And some people think it's because I try to preach like Harold Seidler, but that's not it. It's just I have a paralyzed vocal cord. How many of you are old enough that something's paralyzed all the time? All right. My right vocal cord doesn't move, so let me give an example of how I talk. Try to clap with only one hand. Well, that's the way I talk. Now, it doesn't hurt me, so just relax. And I want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 11. Just open your Bibles and hang on there. I'll get there just in a moment. But before I do, I want to say again, thank you for having us up. We love your pastor and love your church. And my wife, Linda's sitting down here. We're working on this summer. We'll celebrate 57 years together. Amen. And I know we don't look that old, but we've had a good time together. And I tell people, there's nothing in the world like knowing you're saved and knowing you're living for Christ. It's not easy necessarily. We've lived in some of the most difficult places in the world, but the joy of seeing people get saved and grow in the Lord and get in the church, and we've had a great time of it. In 1973, looking over this crowd, most of you understand that. In 1973, she and I joined BIMI. We were just young, dumb, green missionaries. All brand new missionaries are that way. I'm sorry, Summer. we got it all in Bible college. And then we go out there and find out it's not like that at all. Those of you who've been there. Well, we left Tennessee Temple and joined BIMI. We went to France for a year and a half and studied French 8 hours a day. I could preach in French tonight. In fact, this fall I'll be up in French-speaking Canada for 10 days and preach all of it in French. But we, 8 hours, imagine that, 8 hours a day in a foreign language, living in a different country, left there and went straight to our country in Africa. And not one neighbor we had spoke French. And they would come to me and say, Assalamu alaikum, and I would say, Je ne comprends pas. Nangadefy, je ne comprends pas. And I could go on and on. It took 15 minutes to greet somebody there in Wolof. And you had to know French to learn Wolof, but that was in the early 70s. And we learned the Wolof language and still speak that as well. Now, I can't tell you all of our life story, but this lady has followed me 16 years living in the Sahara, working in a Muslim country. And then we lived down in the jungle in the Congo back in the 90s. And we tell people, we have 5 children. They had more fun than a barrel of monkeys because we ate them. Not the kids, okay, the monkeys. All right. I know how y'all think. 20 years in Africa. Now, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, we got caught up in fighting and we had to leave our country in 1993 and came back to America. And our sending church, we didn't know they didn't have a pastor. Now, let me tell you how to get where we grew up and where I pastor. Get on I-26 and go east, go down the mountain, go right through Asheville and keep going. And when you get to South Carolina, the Welcome Center's on your right, and our church borders the Welcome Center property. That's where we grew up, down in that Spartanburg-Greenville area. About as backward and timid as you can imagine. My dad left when I was a year and a half. I never knew my dad. He was out of my life entirely. But God's good. He saved my soul, called me to preach. And that was, I shouldn't even tell that. Just a few days ago, I celebrated my 59th year of preaching the gospel. And a lot of that not in English. I do better in the other languages. But anyway, she followed me down in the jungle, didn't have a stove for 9 months, 100 miles from electricity. You had to walk down the mountain to get water, to take a bath, to wash your clothes, and all of those good things. Well, we got back here. I ended up being pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Landrum, South Carolina, for 9 years and taught the missions at Ambassador Baptist College. And then we were asked, again, do you think God ever has a sense of humor? Dr. Don Sis called me and he said, Brother Godfrey, would you pray about coming back with me? I mind being our Far East field director. Now, you don't know where Far East is. China, Japan, Mongolia, Korea, Taiwan, Philippines, Hawaii, Tinian, Saipan, Guam. And I said, Dr. Sisk, I love you. You're my friend. But you've been in the sun too long. We speak French Wolof and Kikongo and some Arabic. And you want me to, anyway. 10 years we spent out in that part of the world. And now for a long time, we get to go all over the world with our missionaries and see what God is doing around the world. And every time we go, last year we were in Dominican Republic. First Sunday there, seven men got saved in the Sunday night service first week. We watched those young missionaries go out, and I said they don't know what they're doing half the time when they're starting, but they're not doing it anyway. It's God's work. And to watch them start a church and see people saved and trained. Anyway, that's what we do now. But that's not my message tonight, but just so you kind of know where I'm coming from. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Wait a minute, let's just stop there a moment. Who was praying? As he was praying, as the Lord Jesus. Let that sink in a moment. As he was praying, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then, of course, Jesus gives us the model prayer. I'll not read that because you're very familiar with it, I know. And I want to speak tonight at this prayer meeting. I preach on missions week after week. There's another little passage over. You don't need to turn there. Some of you can help me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Does anyone know what three of the shortest? You want to memorize verses, here's three to get. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to do God's will? Rejoice all the time. Pray without ceasing. We used to sing that. If I could sing, I would do it, but you don't want to hear me now. I want to challenge you with this thought tonight. It won't be anything new that you've not heard before, but I want to talk about what I believe to be the greatest lesson we can learn about prayer. Now, I've been preaching a long time. I've already told you that. And when I started out, I knew nothing. But a deacon in the church that Linda and I grew up in, that was a convention church, they gave me a hardback Scofield Bible, a subscription to the Sword of the Lord, told me, listen, to Harold Siler, not ever be green. And of course, they ruined me. And I remember, that was a long time ago, I read John R. Rice's, how many of you have read John Rice's book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving? Man, I read that and I was reading all those books and God was getting a hold of me. And I've read a lot about prayer and I've tried my best to pray. And I don't know how many of you would say what I say. I do pray, but then when I do pray, sometimes I feel like I haven't done enough. The greatest lesson we can learn about prayer is this. Prayer is directly related to every other Christian duty that we have. You know, some people think to pray, you've got to go, you got to bow your head, close your eyes, even driving down the road. That's no. You don't have to bow your head. It's not nothing wrong with bowing your head, but you don't have to bow your head and close your eyes. Prayer is a state of being almost. It's talking to our Father and to our God and to our Lord and our Savior. And it's directly related to every other Christian duty in our lives. You say, Brother Godfrey, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you an example. Point number one, prayer is related to Bible study. In what way? Well, I'm always full of questions. How do you know how to pray? Where do you learn about prayer? You learn it from the Bible. The two go together, prayer and Bible study. I told you, Linda and I, maybe I didn't, but I'll say it. Linda and I, we're just weird, okay? I mean, we do things differently. If we're together and we're speaking in French and we think maybe other people speak French, we switch to Wolof. And nobody has any idea what we're saying. We don't point with our finger, we point with our tongue. That's the way they do it in Senegal. You go to the Philippines, they do it with their lips. You think they're getting ready to kiss you or something. That's not that. But when we travel, even coming up here for one day, we travel with a bag of Bibles each. And every morning we get up and right at the moment I read a chapter in Wolof and I read another chapter in Spanish and I read another chapter in French and I read another chapter in Japanese and then Kituba, and we do English okay. When you read your Bible, now you say, well, I can't do all that. You don't have to. But when you read your Bible in English, whatever other language you read in, you will never understand the Bible without spending time in prayer to God as you read it. You don't have to stop and go through ritual to do it. You just, how do we know how to pray? How do we know that, how do we understand about prayer? Listen, Psalm 119 verse 18, just listen. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So how do we read our Bible? How do you read your Bible? Let's just bring it down personal. I've just told you how we read ours. We do that every day. We love it. I have more fun. You say, well, Brother Godfrey, why don't you read all those languages? Number one, sometimes, Butch, isn't it true, you get more out of your French Bible than your English Bible? You know why? You're paying more attention. It's a different language, and you're thinking about it more. So how do you read your Bible? Maybe I need to ask a follow-up question to that. Do you read your Bible? And if you do not, you need to ask God to help you. Because there's nothing more exciting, there's nothing more fulfilling than reading this word and saying, dear Lord, would you please help me to understand this so that I can help other people? It helps us. It's God's word. It feeds us. It makes us stronger. We missionaries would never succeed, not in one single thing, if we're not spending time in the Word and prayer. So prayer and the Bible study go together. Let me give you another thought. Prayer and soul winning go together. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. If you've got somebody, you got a burden on your heart for a neighbor, for a friend, for somebody, you know they're lost, pray for them. Paul said, my heart's desire and my prayer to God. And we sing a little song, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. You have to keep your eyes open. You have to keep your ears attuned to God and His word. And it's amazing what will happen when you do that. I told you we grew up in South Carolina, so backward and hillbilly. We thought a long trip was up the mountain to Asheville. And here we are 57 years later. We still don't like to travel, but we love what we do. And we're sitting in an airport, or we're sitting in an airplane. She wasn't with me one time. I was in the Philippines, and I was getting ready to fly back up to Japan. And this Filipina about 20 years old or so sat beside me, and I'm flipping through some Japanese vocabulary cards. And she said, sir, what are you doing? I said, mom, I'm studying Japanese. And she said, why would you do that? And I said, I want to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those Japanese people. And she said, would you tell me more about that? And I had the privilege, before the airplane left the tarmac in Manila, Philippines, I had the privilege of leading that young lady to Christ. Lord, you show me how. Put a burden on my heart. Not so long ago, Lynn and I have lived 10 years. I taught missions at West Coast Baptist College. And not so long ago, we were out there and we ate with the students at noon every day. So one day it was cold and blustery. She usually walked across. We lived right across the road from Lancaster Baptist Church. So she was going to walk. But that day it was cold. And I went home to get her. And I did. She got in the car. About the time she got in the car, my phone rang. And it said, Jamie Smithy. Well, Jamie Smithy is the other missions teacher now at West Coast. And I answered my phone and a gentleman said, Salaam Alaikum. And I said, Malaikum Salaam. And he said, Mbajamagam. And I said, Jamarekwai Disantiyala. I've got the peace of God. And he said, Nangadev, how you doing? Anawakurga, where's the people at your house at? And I had a 15-minute conversation in the Wolof language in Lancaster, California, and shared the gospel with the man because my fellow teachers were right knocking on doors. And they knocked on this door, and this black gentleman came to the door, and he spoke with an accent. And Jamie said to him, sir, where are you from? He said, I'm from Senegal. And Jamie said, do you speak Wolof? And he said, I do. His eyes lit up. He said, do you? And Jamie said, not a word. But I've got a friend who does. And he called me. I could go on and on and on with this. I'm saying our prayer life and a burden for souls and winning souls, it all goes together. It's not accidental. You don't win everybody you talk to. Even though in Senegal, it was so easy to witness they were Muslim people, but God was part of their conversation. Their greetings, 15 minutes of their greetings. But is anybody Mbatawatalo? Is anybody sick at your house? And the answer is, dead it. Nungi Santiata. No, we're all praising God. And we got there, and they would come to me and say, well, they couldn't say Godfrey. They gave me an African name. I was Asanba. Asanba, how can you be a Christian? You've got a wife and children. Because they thought Christians were priests and nuns from France. And I would say, let me tell you why. In the very first pages of God's word, they call it the first part, the Torah. It says, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother. And they're jumping up and down saying, I mean, amen. Do you believe that? And I said, I believe that. And let me tell you another story a few pages over. God told Abraham to take his son up on the mountain. Now, I couldn't say which son because they think it was Ishmael. And they would start jumping up and down and say, oh, you believe that story? We kill a ram every year in memory of God providing the ram for Abraham's son. And I'd say, I know you do believe it. Let me tell you what you've never heard, though. When Jesus came and John the Baptist, Yahya, saw him, he said, Holen and Botem Yala, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Look, prayer and winning people, I'm just gonna make a very bold statement. Winning people to Christ is not just memorizing a few verses and giving it to people. Now that's good. If you do that, praise the Lord. But prayer to God and winning people to Christ is when you're praying to God and you're crying out and he'll put a burden on your heart for that person you've never met before that's sitting beside you. You realize next Monday I'm going to fly to Brazil. No, you didn't realize that. I know you didn't. Last year I kept telling myself all year, I got to slow down. Well, the first Sunday this year, we started off in the mountains over in North Georgia in a church. Had a young lady get saved the first Sunday. And then the next Sunday, we went to Woodbridge, Virginia on a weekend for a global impact rally. When we had hundreds of young people come in and we presented missions. And why don't you let God work in your heart and your life? And then the next Sunday, we're in Linton, Indiana. And then on and on we go. And I'll be in Brazil next week. And we'll go to Switzerland in August and be with all of our Europe missionaries there for a week. And I'm just saying, when you're crying out to God, God help me, give me a burden, it all goes together. Now, I can't keep the missionary side of me out of this. Y'all can tell by my stories. Prayer and missions go together. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, I'm going to say something that may shock you. I don't think it will. But the giving from churches to missions since COVID is better than we've ever seen it in history. So explain, why did that happen? Explain it to me. Only God. The giving from churches to BIMI missionaries, and I don't know, but it may be the same at Baptist Men and other places. The giving has gone up $10 million a year, every year since COVID. Not 10 each year, but I mean it's 10, and every year we're breaking our records. So honestly, I do still preach on faith, promise, giving, and all of that, but I preach much more on, let's pray that God will call for some laborers. I'm going to go to Brazil. Some of you all know it well. Next week. And you know what I'm going to hear when I get there? "Hey, Brother Godfrey, why don't you go back to those churches and tell them we need some help down here." John Rail, one of our missionaries, been there for 50 plus years. Gary Tyler, 50 plus years. Ed Johnson, been in there forever. I mean, there's so many of these people. They're getting older and they're crying out. Would you go back and tell people we need help? But then they add to that, but don't send us any more snowflakes. See, prayer and missions go together. How do you pray for missionaries? Now, you mentioned missionaries tonight. Let me give you a little Godfrey insight. When you read their prayer letters, read between the lines. Now, I said young missionaries, they're kind of dumb when they first go out. They lie too. "Brother Godfrey, really?" "Yes, all the time. I'll go out with them. How you doing, brother?" "Oh, we're great. Everything's wonderful." And it's not true at all. Their hearts are broken. The wife just had a miscarriage. They've been sick. One of them's got cancer. Somebody was in their church and created a stir in their church, and their heart's broken. Read their prayer letters, but understand when you read their prayer letters, they're probably not telling you everything on their heart. So prayer and missions go together. In 2 Thessalonians 3, the first 5 verses, don't turn there. Let me just tell the story. Paul is writing and says, "Brethren, pray for us that the word of God would have free course." And then he goes on in the next few verses to say, "and that we would be delivered from unreasonable men." All right. Paul, the great missionary, gave 2 prayer requests. If I gave 2 for missions, I don't know that it would be these. But Paul prayed 2. 1, help us to be fluent in the language. Why would a missionary want to go to his mission field if he's not going to learn the language? You have to know the language and the way they think to win people. And he also said, "Would you pray for us that God would deliver us from," let me give you the Godfrey version, "mean and unreasonable people." Do you know there's some of those out there too? So pray for missionaries. All right. Prayer is also related to preaching. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And he," that Christ, "ordained 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them forth to preach." But can I remind you that before Christ chose the 12, he spent all night long praying for those men that were going to be chosen. We preachers, we need lots of prayer. We Christians need lots of prayer. But we folk who are in full-time Christian service, how many of you know the devil would delight for us to fall flat on our face? The devil delights when one of God's men gets in trouble and messes up in some way. I talked to your pastor, but not about what I was going to preach, and he didn't tell me what to preach. But I hope you pray a lot for your pastor. Find man. A godly man. But he needs you to connect with God and pray that God would help him. We need lots of prayer. And I pray a lot. I know you've heard it before, but I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. I'm not as young as I used to be. But I want to end right. I want to end with a good testimony. I want to end still in God's service. And you don't know what's going to happen. I keep telling him I'm working on this, and I'm about, if I preach short, would y'all not go tell your pastor that, are you? We preachers need your prayers. A year and a half ago, I had my physical. I'd driven all day on Monday, went and had my physical on Tuesday. Now, let me just put a parenthesis. This is not maybe so spiritual, but if you're old as Linda and I are, go get a physical every year. So I went and got my physical and walked out of the doctor's office thinking, man, I'm a healthy old man. Next morning, 7:30, I'm in the office. My cell phone rings. And it's my doctor. And he said, could you come back down here immediately? He said, I think the hospital misread your blood count. My blood platelets were 12,000. Anything under 150,000 is low. When you get down to where mine was at, you can bleed to death. I went back to his office. Excuse me. They took blood, and there were 11,000. He said, I've got a cancer doctor, a friend. I'll call him. He'll call you today. And he did. I went to the cancer doctor. I don't have cancer, but I went to him. And my count was 9,000. That means you can have a brain bleed, internal bleeding. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm just saying, look, you pray for your preacher. So they put me on, though they really fixed me up, they put me on 10 steroid pills a day. 100 milligrams. And he said, you're not going to sleep. And he was right. And I traveled and preached all over the place going through that. And we had been up, Linda and I, to Rockford, Illinois, and I preached the conference and came back. My best friend in the world, Brother Ron Bragg, we worked together in Senegal all those years. He had gone to heaven. And he'd always say to me, JB, when I die, you've got to come do my funeral. And I would say, don't even ask me that, please. But anyway, he died. And so we're leaving Rockford early on Monday morning, trying to get home so we can go back to Western Missouri to be at his funeral. And we stopped at a Love truck stop to get gasoline. She went into the truck stop, and I started my gas to pump. And I turned around. I was going to go clean my windshield because it was farm country and bugs everywhere. And I turned around, and I don't remember anything after I turned around until I'm bouncing my bald head off of the concrete. I'm talking about falling flat on your face. This time not spiritually, physically. And of course, she didn't know I'd fallen. And I went in and washed. Well, okay. This lady on the other side of the pump, she said, are you okay? Well, I woke up when I bounced my head and I jumped up. I'm a Marine. I lie. I said, I'm fine. I'm okay. And I jumped up, washed my windshield, went in and washed the blood off. And again, it's dark. We got back in the car, started driving 8 more hours down the road. And I said, throw me a paper towel because I got blood clots coming down. I broke my nose. I broke all these bones. I'm just saying, okay, that's my physical problem. But do you really pray for God's men? I mean, my prayer list, I break it down into different categories, my local church, BIMI folk, friends, other pastors, and so on. I pray for hundreds of missionaries every few days. How do you pray for your preacher and the workers here at the church and all those who serve here? Now, I'm working on this. Let me give you another thought. Prayer is related to being with Jesus. people read books and they're going to this conference and that place for victorious living. Can I tell you the only way you'll have victorious living is when you live with Him? When you're spending time with Christ, Luke chapter 22, verse 46, and He said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray that ye enter not into temptation." And our prayers should be ongoing and constant and fervent. And I wouldn't say you have to pray like I do, but when I wake up in the morning and I get up early, when I wake up in the morning, I try always to make my first prayer, "Lord, I love you. And I pray that your name would be honored. You're worthy of all praise and majesty and might." And I always try to start. You see, if we don't spend time with Him, how do we ever think that we'll have victory in our Christian lives? Well, prayers are related also to, I'm going to combine two things. Prayer is related to home life and rearing children. How many of you have children? How many of you have a lot of grandkids? Great grandkids. Lynn and I have 5 children. We have 19 grandchildren. And they go in age from 36 to 1, almost 2. We have 2 great grandkids. But look, have you ever considered this? Your prayer life and your family life, they go together. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them," that is your wife, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life." Now listen, "that your prayers be not hindered." If you're fussing at home, you're not going to get very far in your prayer life. And prayer and our married life goes together. And then this whole matter of raising children. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 18 says this, "Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease." If we're really living for Christ, our kids will know it. You guys, your wife will know it, and vice versa. If you're not living for Christ really, they know that as well. I'm a country hillbilly, but I love good poetry. I'm not the best poet, but the other day, one of my daughters, we have 2 sons, 18 years apart, and 3 daughters in between them. So one of my daughters, they always tell me, "Daddy, you're hard to buy for." Anybody, your kids tell you that? You know why we're hard? She and I, we are difficult to buy for. You know why? There's not a thing in the world we won't. You know the joy of being content? I mean, what do they want to do, send us on a cruise? We've been millions of miles. I don't want to do anybody's tourism. I've been on the Great Wall of China so many times I'm bored. Don't send me on. I don't want to go on a cruise. I don't want a bigger car. We don't want a bigger house. It's hard for them to figure out because there's nothing really we want. So my daughter, just recently, she said, "Daddy, here's what I've done." And these are the words from one of my daughters, my first African-born daughter. We have several Afro-Americans at our house. And she wrote these words, "As I think back to my childhood, as I remember the days of youth, I remember a sweet, sweet spirit. I remember the teaching of truth. I remember there was music, such harmony I heard. I remember that there was service for others undeserved. I remember that there was laughter. We found the funny in everything. I remember there were devotions, a time to learn and sing. I remember there were stories, so many books Dad read. I remember precious time with Mom cooking and making bread. I remember sometimes of sadness, broken hearts, and loved ones lost. I remember the hugs of comfort, such love no matter the cost. Oh, it wasn't perfect. After all, I lived there too. But it certainly was amazing, and how I love you. Now, how many of you believe I'd rather have that any day than a new shirt? All right, prayer. You say that's the strangest message I've ever heard on prayer. It may be, but everything we do as believers, prayer's part of it. James chapter 2 and verse 18, this is my conclusion. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And then Elijah stood before the king fearlessly. Why? Because he stood before God fearfully. Look, spend your time with God. Ask him to help you be the best Christian. I'm not going to ask you. Maybe I should. How many of you really want to be the best Christian you can possibly be for our Savior? When you think about what he did for me and what he did for you, I think we all should think that way. Dear Lord, we come tonight, and I thank you for these dear folk. They listen so well, and I pray that you give us a greater burden than we've ever had to spend time loving and praising and praying to you. And may every part of our life as a believer be filled with that time together. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, would you stand with me, please? If God spoke to your heart tonight and you need to come to the altar and pray, you come right on. God is good. And somebody, all of us usually say all the time, and he is that. He's good.
As the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, will you do business with him? Take this message home with you tonight. Take it to your family. Take it to your house. Put it into practice in your life. In him we live and move and have our being, the Bible says. We have the opportunity to spend time with our God this side of heaven. Lord, help us to pray. Dear God, I pray for our church tonight. I pray for all of us that are here. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Thank you for pricking our consciousness. And pray, thank you for drawing us closer to you through the message tonight. Help us as we go to lay all these things before you and to do it, Lord, not just to talk about it, but to put this in practice. And we trust that you will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Just a few reminders as you go out. See Brother Godfrey, thank him. Miss Godfrey, thank you for being here tonight. We do have our mom's group. There's information on that for the play date on the 13th at Kiwanis Park. See that information there. If you need to see Amber Benton or Miss Amy or Amber Williams, you can. Our 40 days of prayer starts when Pastor gets back. So if you haven't got your book, tonight's one of the last nights, or next Sunday, pick the book up. Get looking through it. Get prepared for it. We're going to start practicing this together as a church, praying together. That starts next Sunday. And then our Facebook group on follow along with our prayer journal on that. So just be aware of that. There is our Newcomers Fellowship this Sunday, and sign up for that. And our Flourish Spring Ladies event, we have a sign-up sheet on the app and in the lobby. Just put that out there. Make sure we don't forget anything. Pray for each other. Pray for Pastor. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed.